Grace Church. Yes. You may be seated now as our ushers come forward to pick up the offering and tithes. Well, church, Merry Christmas. It's so good to see you. Let me encourage you for the next few songs that we sing. Just join us in singing. Let's lift up our voices together and in chorus and just worship the Lord. And just thank you so much for being here this morning. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, fill this place with your presence, your peace. As we remember your birth, Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory and all the praise is yours. In Jesus' name.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be all to people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men."
Hail the incarnate deity. Good morning, everyone. Jesus is indeed the reason for this season. Amen. God is so good. Good to have you, and thank the praise band. What a wonderful job they did this morning. So good to see each and every one of you. Merry Christmas to you. Good to have you. Those that are tuning in live, it is so good to have you as well. A lot of things happening here at Calvary this morning. Well, really, There's not a whole lot of things happening this week since it's Christmas, but praise the Lord, we're here. Amen. So a lot of the offices, of course, as you've already heard, they're going to be closed the December 23rd through the 27th. Also, Christmas communion, if you are going to be traveling, the Lord bless you. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. I probably will not see you again if you're not with us to the Tuesday night communion service. It doesn't begin at night. It is at 3 p.m. There's no child care for that. Everything on the campus, all the buildings will be closed except for the chapel. And we're going to celebrate a nice, warm, beautiful communion together, 3 o'clock on December 24th. Also, New Year's Day, January 1st, that is a Wednesday. There's no night service that evening. However, around 10:30 here in the chapel, there's going to be a time of intercessory prayer. And if you're available if you're able to do so, please come and be a part of that as well. So with all that being said, I know that many of those here at Calvary, they're already on the road by air. Why don't we start out and let's pray for their safety. Amen. Father, we praise you. We give you thanks for this wonderful day, Father, that you have given unto us. And Lord, indeed, Jesus is indeed the reason for this season, and we celebrate his birth all week long, Lord, and all that he has done for us, rescuing us from this dark world. And Lord, we do pray for those that are traveling, even right now, those that belong to Calvary, and even those that don't, Lord, we ask that our highways and our airways, Lord, let it be a safe journey there and a safe journey home, and may their hearts and wherever they celebrate this Christmas, Lord, may Christ's presence be so real to them. Lord, we pray this morning, and we would be amiss not to pray for our president, Lord. We lift him up to you, and we also pray for the House and the Senate, Lord. We pray that your will be done, not man's will, but your will be done in all the things that are occurring. So, Lord, we give you praise. I pray that every heart is open this morning to receive your word. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be in chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 39 in just a moment. But you know what's really hard to believe is we look at this incredible text that most people, they may read it, but they probably have never heard any sermon on the songs of Christmas. I pray this morning, as I told the early service, of course, the early service, they had the camels and the wise men, and they... sometimes when we go through things, we're so familiar with Christmas that we miss what the Lord is trying to tell us again and again and again. You know, we're not only here to celebrate Christ's birth, but Jesus is not in the manger. Amen? Jesus is not on the cross. Jesus, our Lord, all power, all authority in heaven and upon earth, he is seated at the right hand of God, and he ever liveth making intercession for us. Amen? Praise God for that. And listen, I celebrate this. In 3 days, we're going to have the celebration of the one, you know, there was just no room for him in the inn. It's a sad thing. You know, listen, we're about to enter a brand new decade. And that's hard to believe, isn't it? 2020, right around the corner. And you know, when we look at all that God is doing, as we now begin to celebrate the most important birth in the history of the entire world, when God became man, or Emmanuel, God with us. I'm so thankful that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. We celebrate all those wonderful things, and we know, as we're going to learn at our communion service, when the angel cried out, and he said in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, he cried out and said, "There is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior." That's what every person in the world needs, the Savior. His name is Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. He came to rescue us from our sins and from the darkness. I'm so thankful that he came, that God sent his only son not to condemn the world, but the world would be saved through him. And today, Jesus is still seeking to save the lost, and he's using you to do that. Amen? God is so good. So the one loved one who there was no room for on this Christmas sermon today, he has saved us. He has rescued us. Someone put it this way. The one, it says, each of us is an innkeeper who decides if there is room for Jesus. Exactly what I told the first service, I want to tell you. You know, this may be the most important sermon that I have taught this year. Or it might be to some of you, and I mean that tenderly, not judgmentally, that it might be, well, a little boring. Because you might be saying, I'm so familiar with the stories of Christmas, or maybe the songs of Christmas, but you've probably never heard a sermon on it. I pray that he who hath an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, that you embrace these words in Jesus' name. Amen. The songs of Christmas. Let's begin in verse 39 of chapter 1. It says, Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country, and look how she went, with haste, to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. You remember Zacharias. We learned about him last Sunday. He was the priest, remember, who did not believe the angel Gabriel. He doubted God's ability for Zacharias or Elizabeth, his wife, who was old, well advanced in years, to have a child. She was barren, never had any children. So the Lord said, or the angel said, okay, you don't believe me. You don't believe I stand in the presence of God. I'm the messenger of God. And you don't believe that God's ability is able to do this? For with God, nothing will be impossible. Amen? He says, you know what? You're not going to speak for about 9 months. So, hello. That's a bad thing, isn't it? So here we are. So listen to me now. Little teenage Mary, a little 14, maybe 15-year-old girl, she rushed to the hill country, and you know what she found? She found that Elizabeth was no longer barren. She's now 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. Amen? And he says, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so was John, or John the Baptist, that little baby in her womb. He was filled with the Holy Spirit as well. It says so in chapter 1 of the same chapter that we're in, verse 15. And so at Mary's greeting, something happened in the womb of Elizabeth. John, I don't understand it, but it says in verse 44 that he leaped with joy. Now, I don't understand the miraculous, supernatural thing that just happened. It was almost like John knew that Jesus was there. Amen? I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that's what it seems like. But what's wonderful is Elizabeth. It says she was filled with the Spirit, and by the power of another, the Holy Spirit of God, she spoke. She did something. She's getting ready to sing the very first song of Christmas, or we could even say the very first song in the New Testament. Look at verse 42. And then she spake with a loud voice and said, and here's her song, Blessed are you among women, speaking to Mary, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. I love the next verse. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? You know, Elizabeth is an old, old woman. Amen? Now, I say that tenderly. Being old is a beautiful thing. You know what I'm saying? But she was barren. And now God did a miracle. And she says something that you better embrace. Why did God allow me to be a part of the divine plan that he prepared? She was literally blown away that God not only used her, but included her. What about you? What about you and God's plan for you, loved one? And look what happened. But why has the Lord granted this to me? The mother of my Lord should come to me. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, look what little John the Baptist did. The babe leaped in my womb, and he says, for joy. Blessed is she who believed, and there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told from the Lord. Did you catch that? Blessed is she who believed. Mary was blessed because she believed by faith. Remember what she said after Gabriel told her all of those things? She said in verse 38, what? Let it be unto me according to thy word. Now listen, because Mary believed, she experienced a miracle. Because Mary believed, she also experienced the power of God. and participated in one of the greatest, or really the plan of the ages. Amen? She's going to give birth, the virgin birth, to the Messiah. And now we move to the next song, the Song of Mary. And it's the second song in the New Testament, the Song of Christmas. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord," or "I declare the greatness of the Lord. My soul, all of my mind, my will, my emotions, I'm consumed." She says, "Oh, my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." Do you know Mary needed to be born again just like we do? Amen? That's right. Mary is not to be worshipped, loved one, respected, adored, absolutely. But Mary worshipped the Lord. She wasn't worshipped. Amen? Okay. "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth," how many generations? "And we are a generation, and all generations will call me blessed in every age until Jesus comes, loved one. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." Are we a generation? Absolutely. He says, "Oh," she says, "the mighty one or has done great things for me." That word is the Old Testament name for God, El Shaddai, the God that can do anything. There's nothing too hard for God. And he says, "Oh, you're a holy God," or "a thrice holy." Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. "Oh, and he has done great things for me." Why did God do great things for Mary? Because she believed. She believed in the plan of God. A little teenage girl believed what Angel Gabriel told her, that message from heaven. Now look, drop down with me to verse 56. "And Mary remained with her about 3 months, returned to her home," went back to Nazareth. Of course, Mary is a virgin, remember, hasn't given birth. "And now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered. She brought forth a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. And so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, 'No, he shall be called John.' But they said to her, 'Well, there's no one among your relatives who is called by this name.' And so they made signs to his father what he would have called him. And he," meaning Zacharias, remember he's the priest, he's mute, he says, "and then Zacharias asked for a writing tablet and wrote saying, 'His name is John,'" or "His name is God is gracious.' And so they all marveled and watched this now. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed." It only took 9 months. Amen. It says, "it was loosed and he spake," and look what he was doing. He started praising God, and now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying. Now, this is the third song of Christmas, if you will. And it's a prophetic song. It's a one of prophecy. Now listen to it. It says, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people," meaning through the salvation that's coming in the Messiah Christ Jesus the Lord. "And he's raised us up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David. And he," that means God, "he spoke," and look how he did it, "by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began." Go back and study all those prophets. Do you know you can go all the way back to Enoch? Remember what it says in the book of Jude, that Enoch prophesied that the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints? Remember that? Talking about the Messiah. All the prophets talked about the Messiah. Moses, David, Jeremiah, all of them, all the way to Malachi. And look at verse 71. "That we should be saved from our enemies and all those who hate us." Now, what they didn't know and what we know is that they considered their enemy to be Rome. But Jesus was born not to defeat Rome. Amen? He was born to take away the sin of the world, to defeat hell, death, the devil, the grave, and give us everlasting life. He says that we should be saved from our enemies, all those that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and remember his holy covenant. Are you guys still with me? Okay, keep coming with me now. You got to keep going because you're going to miss what I'm going to show you in just a moment. It says, to perform mercy, promise to our fathers, remember his holy covenant, the oath that God swore to our father Abraham. What was that everlasting, unconditional oath? Well, first of all, it is found in Genesis 12:3, where God told Abraham, in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed, meaning because through him, his lineage, will come Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our Lord, our Savior. He will be born. But it also speaks of Genesis chapter 22, 18, 19, right in that area, when God commanded Abraham to go up to the mount to get the wood, the lumber, the timber, the wood, the fire, and the knife, and all the rest of it, and offer his only son Isaac, the son of promise, as a sacrifice unto God. You know the story, how he went up there and he binds Isaac, he pulls out the knife, and he's getting ready to slay his only son, the son that he loves. And the angel stays his hand. And God spake unto Abraham and said, Abraham, because you obeyed my voice, not only will your descendants be as the sands of the sea, but in you, because you obeyed, all the families of the earth, they will be blessed. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. There's nothing greater than being in on God's plan. Amen? And he says in verse 74, to grant us, he says, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, we might serve him without fear and holiness, righteousness before the days of our life, and that you, meaning you, my child, will be called, look at this about John the Baptist, you'll be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. How would you like for God to say that about your child? If that's God's plan for that little baby in Elizabeth right that moment. His gift, you're going to be a prophet of the highest to Jesus Christ the Lord. His work, you're going to be a forerunner. You're going to go and not clean out the highways and so forth because the king is coming. You're going to go, John, and you're going to prepare the hearts of the people to receive him as their Lord, as their king. Amen? What an incredible plan from Almighty God. And not only that, look at verse 77. It says, and to give or literally impart knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of sins. What a great word. You know, remission means to send away. Our sins are gone. They are completely, it means to dismiss a debt. Jesus came to pay a debt that we can never pay. The sin debt of the world, amen? The Bible tells us that our sins are now as far as the east is from the west. I thank God for that. And not only that, look at verse 78 there. This broken world that Jesus came to, it says, and through, or literally, because of the tender mercy of our God, meaning the tender heart of our Father in heaven, with which the day spring from on high visited us. What a beautiful word for Jesus, the Messiah. He's like the rising of the dawn. You know, Jesus came to a broken, dark, unbelieving, wicked world. And that's still the world that we live in. Did you know that? The world, there's still, creation is still groaning because of the sin of Adam and Eve. Loved one, I look at this and I say, oh Lord, why did you come? Look at, to give light, it says, to those who sit in darkness, the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And so the child, meaning John the Baptist, he grew, became strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. That is a great prophetic song. Amen? Jesus came to give light because the whole world was sitting in darkness. That means no light at all. They were blinded by the devil. And not only that, it was the shadow of death that they were sitting in. But oh, he came to guide our way into peace, to remove our darkness. I'm so thankful that he has done that. Now, the birth of Jesus is in Luke 2. That's the fourth song. But we're going to move to the fifth song, okay, of Christmas. Drop down or go to Luke 2:25 with me. Luke 2:25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Now look at what kind of man he was. He was, number one, a just man. He was a devout man, and he was a waiting man, okay? He was waiting on the consolation of Israel. Now listen to me. If he was waiting on the consolation or the comfort of Israel, which is the Messiah, Jesus Christ, that means he was waiting on the plan of God to unfold, and he knew God's plan. Amen? Very important. Yes, he did. And it says, not only that, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, watch this, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, meaning Jesus the Messiah. What an incredible plan. I mean, think about it, loved one. If God spoke that to your heart, the Holy Spirit revealed that to you, you know what you're going to see, Simeon? You're going to see my salvation. You're going to hold in your very hands the salvation of God. He says, oh, listen, you know, he says, you would see death. You wouldn't see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Listen, why was Simeon in the right place at the very right time to do this? His name, Simeon, means to hear. You see, he had a relationship, obviously, with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God has an ear. And listen to me now. He didn't miss the plan of God. Verse 27. And it says, and so how did he get to the temple? He was led by the Spirit. Look at that. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, look what Simeon did. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, and here comes the song of Simeon. O Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. The word depart in the Greek doesn't mean like I'm going to, catch a cab or Uber or whatever and leave. No, the word means to untie someone or to untie the rope or to loose them into liberty. He was saying, you know what? Your promise, the one that you promised me, Lord, that my old eyes would see your salvation. I can depart now in peace. I'm going to go home in peace. I'm going to be with the Lord. That's what he's saying. Listen, can you imagine a plan of God that says, you know what? I've chosen you to hold in your hands the sinless, spotless babe, Jesus Christ. Think about that. I mean, would you say, oh, I don't want to be in that plan? No, my Lord, I look at that, and that salvation has arrived, in other words. Emmanuel, God with us. And that's what he was doing. See, listen to me now. Salvation is a person. Amen? It's the Lord Jesus Christ who bore our sin and tasted death for everyone and defeated the one who had the power over death, that is the devil. Oh, listen, God is so good. And look what he says, oh, my eyes, seen your salvation, which you've prepared before the face of all peoples. Watch this. A light to bring revelation, number one, to the Gentiles. Number two, look what he says, and the glory of your people, Israel. Can you imagine being a Jew and prophesying that? I mean, listen, he just said, I mean, Mary and Joseph were probably going, hello, what's going on here? Because he mentioned the word Gentiles, meaning all other peoples of the world beside the Jews. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. This is a missionary song, isn't it? Yes, God's going to save everyone. That's what he wants. And Joseph and his mother, watch this now, his mother, not his father. Joseph wasn't the father of Jesus, loved one. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken. Now watch this. We're going to move from singing to prophesying. Look what he does. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold this child, this sinless, spotless son of the living God. This child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. What does he mean? He's saying, Mary, listen. A lot of people are going to love Jesus, and a lot of people are going to hate Jesus. A lot of people are going to accept Jesus, and a lot of people are going to reject Jesus. He's going to be the great divider among men, okay? And he goes on and he says, oh, Mary, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That's a sad scripture, isn't it? Mary, this child. I mean, you have to see it. Do you see it in your eyes? There's Mary and Joseph and Simeon. He's holding the baby Jesus. They're looking at Jesus. And he says, you see this child? He's going to break your heart. He is going to pierce your soul, Mary. It's not going to be like you think it's going to be. And she says, oh, you know, listen, I'm sure, listen, Jesus was despised. He was rejected. He was betrayed. He was betrayed into the hands of sinful men. Mary saw him go to the cross, saw him butchered. But she also saw him rise from the dead. She was also in the upper room in Acts chapter 1. Amen? Yes. Now, verse 36, quickly. And now there was one Anna, and she was a prophetess, daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with the husband 7 years from her virginity. So her marriage only lasted 7 years and her husband passed. And this woman was a widow of 84 or about 84 years. And look what she did. Who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Now she is there in the temple. She heard what Simeon prophesied about the child Jesus to Joseph and Mary. And so here this old woman, but she's still a very active woman, amen? There, she's a prayer warrior. She's in the temple all those years. She, matter of fact, this widow made the temple her home, amen? And she stayed there doing all these things. And it says, and coming in an instant, look what she did. She gave thanks to the Lord and spake of him. Is him capitalized in your Bible? Okay, that's speaking about Jesus then. So she spake of whom? Jesus Christ, the Messiah that was to come into this world. All those who look for redemption is in Israel. I mean, Jerusalem. So the rest of the verses, what, 39 through 40, they go back to Nazareth. Now, I want you to listen and let's bring all of this together. These songs of Christmas. Listen. Do you see what I see? I mean, I went over this and over this and over this. I mean, do you see the true Christmas? What it really, really means? You know, I mean, I thank God. Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I thank God that Jesus was born to die. Oh, born to die and to take away the sins of the world, our sins. Remember what his cousin John the Baptist said? He said in John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But here's what we need to learn. We need to learn right this minute because 2020 is right around the corner. And we need to learn right this minute from Elizabeth and Zacharias and Anna and Simeon. We need to learn from Mary and all these that we just studied about. You know, because God had a plan for each of their lives. Is that true? He had a plan for each of their lives. And that plan of God, if we bring it up to 2020, which is a few days away, is the most important thing in your life, loved one. To be in the plan of God, to be out of the plan of God is a bad thing to be. Amen? So with all that being said, what if I said unto you this morning, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, like that. And I said, do you know what? God has a plan for you. Well, his plan was to save me. Yes, it was. He wants you to be saved. He doesn't want anybody. He wants everyone saved. Amen? But there's more to it than that. You see, if I said God has a plan for you, if God's word has a plan for you, you should be jumping for joy. I mean, the creator, the sustainer of the entire universe says, I have a special plan for you. What a glorious thing. And some of you may be saying, well, Bill, I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in God gives gifts to man, Jesus Christ, and that he died for us and bore our sin and resurrected from the dead and ascended unto God. I believe all of that, but I'm not really so sure if I really believe that God has a personal plan for me. I want to break it down. Do you think that God has a plan for teenagers? To beat them, right? No. Does God have a plan for teenagers? Was Mary a teenager? She was a little 14, 15. I don't think she was 16, but she might have been a little 16-year-old girl. But here's what this little teenager did. And if you're a teen, listen carefully. This little teenage girl believed God. She believed God's promises. She believed God's word. She believed in God's plan. Amen? Oh, that's so important. Listen, did you know if you study all of this out, we've just learned something. Are you barren? I hope you're not barren. Maybe you're young and barren. You can't have children. I don't know, but listen, God has a plan if you're barren. You see, God has a plan for everything. God has a plan for the teenagers. God has a plan if you're mute, you know, or moot too. I don't know. Do you understand? God has a plan for you. God has a special plan for everyone. Listen, maybe you're a widow. You've lost the one you've loved. That's hard. It's heartbreaking. You're lonely in the holidays. I know. I understand. Believe me. But I tell you, God has a plan for you. We've just learned the last two Sundays that God has a plan for babies that have yet to be born. Do you understand? I look and said, oh, Lord, young people, all people, listen to me. God's plan is your gift. God's plan is a gift to you. You know, I mean, young people, maybe you have a tree put up, you know, or maybe you don't put a tree up. It doesn't bother me which one ever you want to do. If you want to have that pagan tree in your house, we have one in the main lobby. Try to get rid of that. You'd fire me. So, but are you more joyous over presence or God's plan? Man, I start thinking about that. I was talking to some kids the other day. Hey, what do you want for Christmas? I want the new iPhone 11. What one do you have? 5? They kind of look down on you. Ever notice that? Like you have something wrong with you. I want those Apple, what do you call them? Airbugs? They go in your ears. I want that watch every step, man. You know, I get my email. Hey, remember Dick Tracy? Remember Dick Tracy?
Hey.
You know? Yeah, here we are. I mean, all those, oh, and Barton, one kid, I'm depressed. Well, why? I said, would you be depressed if I told you that God has a plan just for you? Jeremiah 10:23, oh, Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. Listen carefully now. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Oh, that is such a true word. We think we know where we're going, and we always, if we don't listen to God, we always get in trouble. Our steps, our feet will take us where we should not be going. God says, the prophet said, it's just not man to direct his own steps. Jeremiah, listen to this one, Jeremiah 29:11. You're talking about a plan that God told Israel after 70 years of being in exile. Listen to what God said. For I know the plans that I think toward you, or the thoughts, same word, plans, saith the Lord. Plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. How can God give anyone a future unless he has the plan? God has the plan, loved one. Listen to Psalm 33:10. The Lord brings the counsel or the plans of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. I sent that one to Nancy Pelosi. You know what I mean? Forgive me, Lord. Next verse. The counsel, or literally the plan of the Lord, stands forever. What? Listen to me. Whatever plan God makes never fails. Okay, let me finish the verse. Let me read it again. The plans of the Lord stands forever. Here it comes. the plans, plural, the plans of his heart to all generations. Are we a generation? Yes. Now listen to me. God's plan for you comes from his heart. What a perfect plan, a plan that is filled with love. Loved one, listen, what a great Christmas gift. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for my life. It says in Proverbs 19:21, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, the Lord's plans, that will stand. How many plans do you have in your heart right now? Is it full of plans? Full of New Year's resolutions. I got to plan out my retirement. I got to plan out this. I got to plan my budget. You know what? I have found in my life, and maybe you have found it too, that in reality, my personal plans are really small compared to God's plan. Amen? Oh, listen. God's plan for your life, every person, you that are listening live, you that are in this chapel, listen to me. You need this. You've got to embrace this in 2020. God's plan for your life is unique. Do you understand? It is only for you. It is perfect. And God prepared it before time began just for you. Listen to me, Christian. We're Americans. But I'm a Christian before I'm an American. And here's the deal. We that are Americans and we are Christians, we must stop defining God's plan and with the American psychic or the American dream. Does that make sense? No, listen, you know, we say, oh, I'm a Christian, but nah, I tell you what, I want to marry this kind of woman. Da-da-da-da-da-da. You know what I mean. I'm going to marry this type of man. Okay. You have your list. Check twice. Praise the Lord. You'll be in counseling 6 months from now. I made my plan. I'm going to marry this, da-da-da-da-da. I'm going to be successful. That's drilled into the American psyche. And I want to be successful. I understand that. But I'm going to be successful. I'm going to have an incredible job. I'm going to retire at 55 and drive my Corvette. And all of my kids, they're going to be all-star kids with perfect teeth. I'm going to give them a nice big bedroom so they can play 9 hours a day of their favorite videos. Then I'm going to send them to $100,000 for 4 years of college and get them the best education so they can continue to play 9 hours of video a day. Oh, listen. 2020, a new decade. It is here. And the church in America, every church, every pastor that loves the Lord, we all have to wake up. Because if you turn, I love pastors. I'm not against, I love them all that love the Lord. But today's pastors, if you turn on the TV or whatever, it's the same thing, the same teaching over and over. I mean, remember what I call it? I call it longhorn sermons. You know what I mean? 2 points with a lot of bull in the middle, remember? And that's what you're hearing. Give me 3 points. The pastor, I'm going to give you 3 points this morning and nothing. I'm not beating up pastors. I'm going to give you 3 points on how to have a easy, comfortable, victorious, perfect life. It's the same rhetoric over and over and over and over and over. Do you want the true word of God or the false word of God? Do you want the true Christmas or do you want to hear a sermon about the comfortable Christmas? If you don't want the comfortable sermon, then I want you to listen to me. No, I want the teens to listen. Everybody, but especially the young people. Here's what you need to do right now. If you want a real Christmas, you need to go buy yourself a donkey. That's right. Buy yourself a donkey. And not only that, now you're going to get on that donkey, but you have to be a teenager. You have to be a teen. And you happen to have to, well, you have to be a girl, and you have to be 9 months pregnant, and you have to travel 90 miles to Bethlehem. Let's put it this way. It's like going from Waco to Fort Worth. It's only a seven-day journey. And you're bouncing around. If you're 9 months pregnant, how much would you enjoy that? Huh? And there you come, and after 7 days, you finally arrive, and Joseph says, Mary, did you enjoy those 7 days? Oh, Mary goes, did you hear what I was hearing? I think I heard Silent Night playing in the background. No, there was no joy to the world. Are you listening to me? It was a dark time. It was a hard time. There was no Christmas trees. Christmas is not about you. It's about what God has done for you. And there she is, and she comes into the chapel. Here's Bethlehem. And we have to say, oh, Mary, I'm sorry, you're really big. You know, round young virgin, never mind. I didn't even take Sudafed. I mean, so here they are, and we say, oh, welcome to Calvary Chapel, Bethlehem. But, Mary, there's no room for you, you little teenage girl. I'm sorry. There's a barn. There's a stable, not the stable back here, but the stable. And then you're going to deliver the King of Kings, the Son of the Living God, the God-man. You're going to wrap him in swaddling cloths. You're going to lay him in a manger, a feed trough. That's what a manger is, where animals eat. That's a true Christmas. It was a time of miracles. We are too comfortable, loved one, way too comfortable. Young people, listen to me. Everyone, listen to me. What if you woke up this Christmas morning and there was only one gift under your tree? One gift. But it was a gift from your Father. It was a gift from your Father in heaven. It was a gift from His heart to you. And you opened up that gift and God said, here is my plan, my perfect plan for you, for your entire life. He might say, well, you're going to travel the world. You're going to be a missionary. And you know what? I'm going to use you to win millions and millions of people to God, to Jesus. But you're also going to die. You're going to be martyred for that. Or you open up someone else would open and say, this is a gift from God for my life. He says, pastor, oh, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And you open, maybe you open up another one that says, I'm going to work through you, or my plan, miracles will come from you by me. You'll have the gift of healings. You'll lay hands upon the sick. They're going to recover. I will be exalted. You will not be exalted. Amen. Do you understand the plan of the living God? Did he do those things? Yes, he's done those things. Oh, listen, you might open it up and say, you know what? My plan for you, you're going to be a plumber. You're going to be the best plumber that has ever been. You're going to be a carpenter. You're going to make things out of timber or wood or whatever it might be. You're going to be a school teacher or a college professor or an artist or a writer or a great singer. Or you might be a nurse. My plan for you is to be a doctor. I'm going to use you like you never believe in the field of medicine. God has a plan, a perfect plan for each and every one of you. Your plan, God's plan, you might open and say, my plan for you is you're going to be a businesswoman, a businessman, and you know what your company's going to do that you have founded through me, my power, my grace that I plan for you? You're going to make millions and millions and millions. But I'm also at the same time giving you the gift of giving, the gift of helps, the gift of mercy, the gift of administrations. I'm going to use you because this is my plan. You have to get into my plan. Are you listening to me? That is so vital. Or you may open it up and say, this is my plan for you. It's a perfect plan. You're going to be similar to Paul, the greatest apostle that ever lived. And you're going to suffer greatly for my name's sake. What would you do? That's a gift from God. God's plans come from His heart. From His heart. For you. Why do so many believers, they don't want to get into God's plan? Oh, I believe in the birth. Yeah, but I don't know about the other. Oh, listen, I celebrate today that God sent His Son into the world, amen, to die for the sins of my sins. I thank that. He came into a world that didn't want Him, that didn't desire Him. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. But, loved one, I tell you, I thank God that Jesus is our Savior, that He was born and that He died for the sins of the world, my sins, and that we have been rescued from eternal death. And heaven is our home. Amen? I thank God for that. I want to tell you something. I tell you what I thank God for. That I was allowed to be born. I didn't have to be birthed. See, I'm here because I'm not a mistake. You were born because you're not a mistake. Do you understand me? You are supposed to be here right now in this generation, in this time frame in the world. You were chosen to be here by God. You're not a mistake. He has a plan, a living plan, perfectly for you. Oh, I thank God I was born. I thank God that He gave me the gift of life. I thank God that I have everlasting life. But I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, I thank God that God had a plan. And I'm living, and my wife, we're living that plan right now, right now. You know why people don't want to get into the plan of God, especially if, say, it's the men, you know, in full-time ministry. When the Lord spoke to my heart, when I knew that He had called me, I was terrified. I was a young man in college, and I thought, and when the Spirit of God, whether you believe the Spirit of God speaks, I don't care. I know He speaks. And He spoke to me and told me what I would be doing. I grabbed the bottom of my chair and I was trembling. I was sitting in an apartment on my grandmother's old furniture. I'll never forget it. And you know what happened? Instead of rejoicing over what God just spoke to my heart, I didn't look at God. I looked at I looked at my failings. I looked at all of my lack. And I said, there's no way God would ever call anyone like me. It took years before I finally realized how wrong I was. Don't let that kind of thinking stop you from stepping into the plan of God. Don't ever be afraid to step into the plan of God. That is where victory is. That's where your joy is. That's where it all begins. That's when you start walking in God's perfect will. Amen? For your life. Because He has a plan for you. Loved one, listen. Remember what Paul said? He says, I've been crucified with Christ. I'm dead, man. It's over with. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's life. That is living. You said, well, Bill, I'm not for sure I got up anything that God wants me to do. Really? Ephesians 2:10, for we, meaning the church, we are His workmanship, His masterpiece. We're His poem. That's what that word means. We're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Here it is. For good works, which God prepared beforehand, before we were ever born, that we should walk in them. Well, listen, if God has prepared things for we to walk in, for the believer to walk in, that means that God has a plan. He has a plan for your life, and He never makes mistakes. We are not a mistake. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 18:30, it says, as for God, His way is perfect, meaning everything that God does is perfect. His plans for you, they're absolutely perfect. You say, Bill, can you give me one more scripture? Here it is, Psalm 139:16. David writes, oh God, you saw my substance being yet unformed, meaning that embryonic mass. He says, you saw me. I wasn't even formed yet. You saw me right there, Lord. You saw me. Now listen to what it says. And in God and in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. Every day, God says, I have a book on you. This is my plan. Why do you want to get out of my plan? Don't get over there and get into sin. Don't go over and do that. That's not God's plan for your life. Get in God's plan. Every day of your, I have fashioned a perfect plan just for you and for you only. God has your plan. You don't need to look for a plan. You only need to look for His plan. I want to ask you a question. Are you excited to know that God has a plan for your life? And if so, do you know it? Do you know God's plan? You study out these verses again, and let me tell you what you're going to have, what you're going to find. You're going to find a marriage plan. There it is. You're going to find that in the Word of God anyway. A child-rearing plan. God has a singles plan, a teen plan, a senior's plan, a financial plan, a forgiveness plan, eternal plan. Amen? All in the Word of God. And God has a perfect, unique plan for your lives, no matter who you are and no matter your age. And then, you know what He does? He enables you to do it by His own power. If you don't believe me, just listen to these verses. John 1:15, John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Amen? Listen to the next one, Mary 1:35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the highest will overshadow you. Luke 1:41, Elizabeth would be filled with the Holy Spirit. 1:67, Zacharias, filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Luke 2:25 and 2:26, Simeon, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Simeon, the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not see death. 27 in chapter 2, Simeon, he came to the temple by the Spirit of God. 2:36, Anna, the prophetess, speaks by the Spirit of God, moves by the Spirit of God. If there was only one gift, nothing under your tree. Nothing but one gift. And it was the plan of God for your life. Would you open it? And would you say, oh God, I open it right now. You don't need a New Year's resolution in 2020. You need to open it quickly. Open it up and start living the adventure that God has for you now. You said, well, Bill, how in the world do we really do that? You know how, church. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto Him, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, meaning God's word, that you may prove what is good and perfect and acceptable, or the perfect acceptable will of God. God has a plan. Turn off the TV. Get away from your iPhone, young people. Put it down. Get into God's Word. You're going to miss it. You're going to go to college and you think you're going to be doing this. And you know what? It won't work that way. Do what God wants you to do. We all should be doing what God wants us to do. We would be a mighty force to be reckoned with. You want to know how to get in the plan of God? The easiest way, here it is. Jesus said it in Luke 9:23. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself, disown self. You're not the boss anymore. I created you. I redeemed you. I purchased you. Deny yourself. Live for me. Live for me. Deny yourself. Take up the cross daily. And here it comes. Follow me. You follow Jesus and you do His will. You will find your plan for your life. It comes step by step. I thought I was just going to be a Christian concert person. That's all I was ever going to do. And then after that, then the evangelist. And after that, the moron. I don't know. You understand? Then the pastor. But you step out in obedience step after step after step and do it without fear. God will always take care of you. Always. Paul said, I am persuaded. He's not ashamed. Paul said, I'm persuaded that He's able to keep me. Oh, loved one, listen, how do you find the plan of God? It's so simple. Jesus told us, seek, Matthew 7:7, seek, you'll find. Do you understand? It's a promise. Seek and you'll find. Keep on seeking and you'll find. God, that's in the Word of God. In Acts chapter 9, 6, what Paul, the road to Damascus. When the Lord, he was, you know, the light shone, and Paul was blinded and said, "Oh, who are you, Lord?" He says, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, that you are persecuting. Why are you persecuting me?" And then in Acts chapter 9, verse 6, what does Paul say? He says this, the greatest question. What? To Jesus, he says, "What do you want me to do? What's your plan? What do you want me to do? Go into Damascus, you'll be shown what you do." Oh, loved one, that's the key. That's the key right there. Don't miss God's plan. You better get into God's plan while you can. It's the greatest. Yes, it has turmoil. Yes, it has warfare. Of course it does. But there's nothing greater than being in the plan of God and seeing the miracles of God and how he works through you and others to bring it all to pass. And you know what? You'll be like Elizabeth and you'll say, "I can't believe that I'm in God's plan. I'm not doing anything but just believing." That's how it works. You really want to get the plan. Here, let me read. Here it is. Colossians 3. If then you were raised with Christ, and we were, here it comes. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Don't seek things above. Seek where Christ is. You're seeking him. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not things on the earth. That's the problem. See, you have two places you can set your mind on. Don't set up. This world is passing away, man. The world can't help you. Set on things above. Why? I love it. For you died. When Christ died, you died. When Christ was buried, you were buried. When Christ rose, you rose. When Christ ascended, you ascended. Amen? For you died, and your life is hidden with God, with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him. Listen carefully. I know it's time to go. I'm only 4 minutes past. Don't worry. God has the perfect, unique plan for every person. But Satan has a plan. I was in my prayer time the other day. It was so surreal. And I wrote down, I have a little journal. When I pray, I write down things. And I wrote down that Satan is the greatest serial killer of all time. He comes to kill. He comes to steal. He comes to destroy. He is looking for a victim that he may devour. Amen? See, Satan is real. He doesn't want you to be on the plan of God. And if you're not a Christian, he doesn't want you to be a Christian. He wants to keep you blinded in your minds. I don't need Jesus. Whatever. He has a plan. You know what his plan is? To keep you blinded if you don't know Christ. To keep you blinded until you close your eyes in death. And he has won. That's his plan. That you spend your eternal existence with him in a place called hell. Jesus doesn't want you to go there. The Bible says, Jesus said, hell wasn't made for man. It was made for the devil. It was made for the angels. Christian, listen to me. If you're not even striving to get into the plan of God, I love you, but you need to repent. You have to get right to move forward in his plan. Young people, it's time to grow up. It's time to stop being little crybabies. It's time to grow up. I love you, but I speak the truth in love. If you don't know Christ, you need to get saved. Man, you need to come to him now. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the word of your power. For the word, it is the power of God unto salvation. Thank you. So, Father, in Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you, you can right now. You don't have to come to this altar. You don't have to do anything but one thing, and that is to raise your hand and say, Bill, I'm not a Christian. I want to be a Christian. I want Jesus to save me. I want him to forgive me. I want heaven to be my home. I want his plan. If that's you, put your hand up and then put it right back down. God bless you. That's right. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. God bless you back there. I see that. Quickly, put it up if that's you. Don't fight God. God bless you, sir. Who else? Come on. Oh, get right today. This is the end of this. It's over. Come to Christ. And Christian, listen to me. I speak to Christians. No, I'm speaking to the teens. It's time to get right with God. It's time to develop your own faith. It's time to not be made to come to church. It's time to say, I want to come to church. It's time to say, I want to study my Bible. And if you're not right with God, I want you to lift your hand unto God while every eye is closed and every head is bowed and say, I want to be right with God. And then put your hand right back down. Right this. Yes, that's right. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Those that lifted their hands and said, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want you to pray this prayer with me right this minute. Church, help me. Say, Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven. I want a new plan for my life. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that, Father, you raised him from the dead. You promised that if I believed and confessed Jesus, you would save me. I believe. Save me now in Jesus' name. Father, we praise you for this wonderful day that you have given unto us as we start our celebration of Jesus coming to this lonely planet to save us. I praise you for those that lifted their hands that just got right with the Lord, the young people. And I praise you for those that are just, they just came into the family of God. They left the kingdom of darkness. They're in the kingdom of light. They've been translated. They're saved. They're filled. Their names are written in the book of life. And heaven is rejoicing. And we love you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. God is good. If you're not here with me on Tuesday, let's stand to our feet. If you're not here a Tuesday for a Christmas communion, I'll see you in 2020. Is that okay? Now listen, stay safe out there. I want you to come back alive wherever you're going. How's that sound? It's been a privilege to serve.